destiny. And you can put forth that destiny in such a way that you can control what is going on. But Jesus' final estimate concerning the whole situation is wrapped up in verse 4. And I'm glad that he kind of like tapped in on him. For he says, an evil and adulterous generation asks for a sign. Now, Jesus assesses the situation in a clear perspective. He states that evil person displays these characteristics. The term in the Greek is human cruelty, pornoros in the Greek, hostility against God and our Jesus and all that he stands for. This is interesting as you do the Greek study of this, because he knew that this is what he just puts it out there, an evil and adulterous generation asks for a sign. He says, you know, you're bent on evil. That's why a sinner is a sinner, and he does it well. And I'm not bothered by that. What bothers me is that the Christian doesn't do the antithesis to being a sinner is a Christian. And we Christians are not doing that very well these days. You know, we think about compromising. Come on, man. They can hurt us. No, yeah, they can torture us. They can kill us. Don't believe your president. Our nation tortures people, man. They got people that are paid very good money to torture, and they're not going to talk about it. Mm-mm. No cameras or nothing. And you can listen to the homosexuals and the deviants from Hollywood that's against this kind of stuff. All these people that, you know, you see flying to Washington and meeting with the president and smiling and grinning and all that. They, you know, they're just sucked into it, too, because you know what? They have their money. These people are deviants. Oh, man, my life. Look at me, man. And we have these stupid people buying our movies and giving us this money and making us millionaires. And they love us. That's why do you think they have the red carpet walk and everything every year and have all these folk, everybody in the whole nation watching the Academy Awards? No, I didn't even turn that mess on. Why? And why do you think they chose these people from Dubai? What do you think they're trying to do? What is it, man? Those people are not even Americans, and they got the best movie of the year, Slumdog, whatever. Told me that one of the kids in the movie had never flown on a jet, never done anything. What is happening here? What are they trying to do? What are they doing? They're taking the focus off of America, and they're putting the focus on another part of the world. They want you to see that part of the world as a normative experience in your life. I haven't seen that movie. I plan to go see it. Now, I ain't going to be crying. I'm looking at the political ramifications of what's going on because I'm a thinking thing. You see, Rene Descartes said, I think, therefore I am. I don't think that the American public is thinking. You have to look at that. One that is in the grip of evil of himself. That's what that means. Jesus says an evil and wicked generation. That is a person that is in the grip of the evil one himself. You are in the hand of Satan, being used of Satan to try to get me to compromise myself because you don't like what you really see. That's what Jesus was saying to them. Festering determination to oppose me. I know some people that call themselves Christians that have that kind of disposition against me personally. I don't know. I love people. Man, I just hope that my captor lets me love him. He'll probably beat me unconscious. I hope that God will give me the strength to love him. Man, love. Hey, listen, y'all. Oh, he's feeling me, man. You know what? Man, it's a wonderful thing when God just, you know, when you have a thought to love somebody because you want to love them and let them feel good, and God fills you with his spirit and immerses you in. See, everybody's talking about, oh, man, have you felt the Holy Spirit come on you? Welcome the love of the person that persecutes you like Jesus did on Calvary and Jesus will fill you with his presence. That's what he just did to me. He just filled me because that is the essence of why he came. Some of you may be listening and say, John, you crazy, man. You crazy. What you mean somebody's making you suffer and you're going to love them, John? How can you love them? Because they are in the grip of Satan. And I want to release them from that grip. In the New Testament, it carries a note of pain, distress, or affliction. And it says an evil and adulterous generation. My own personal observations, it is an ugly attitude. It's an ugly thing. But with the longer that I spend time with Christ, I can make it better in that. So what did this lead Jesus to do? Look at verse 4b. Basically, he said, you're wasting my time. He says, there will be no sign given to this generation except for the sign of Jonah. Now, Jesus abandoned them to their own fate. That's what he did. He said, you wasting my time, and he left them. He abandons them to their own fate. Those of you that are not Christian, those of you that are opposing this message, and you've never listened to it, but maybe for the first time you're listening to it, okay, I want to listen to this guy, Coleman, because he's passionate about that Bible, and I didn't know that the Bible meant all this stuff and all these. And there's no secret meanings in it. All you do is just look at the original Greek and see what is going on and let the Holy Spirit guide you. This is the way biblical preaching is supposed to be done. The preacher gives himself to the study of the word, and then the Holy Spirit works on the pastor as the pastor gives out the dissemination of the word, and the word brings conviction to your heart. You repent of your sin. You discover who God is. That is why many of you that don't even know that you're called of God yet, while you're listening to me, if you can set aside the anger that you have for me and try to deal with this in a very upfront, logical way, you will see exactly what is going on in this text. He abandons them to their own selective fate. This is a destiny that they had chosen. Thus, we see in this particular aspect that the 69th week of Daniel was ending and the church age was coming into effect. If you know anything about biblical eschatology, you know exactly what I meant by that statement. I won't jump off and get into that right now. That's for another time. But they had chosen that for themselves as a nation. They determined their own destiny, just like we do today. Any denial of the biblical authenticity, you have chosen your own destiny. Going back to my sister telling me that she ain't ready to die, well, let me come over there and get you ready to die. No, I don't need you coming over here telling me nothing. You've chosen your own destiny. You've done it yourself. What? You ain't got no business being scared. Accept it. You've rejected it flat out. John, you're cruel. No, I'm not. Let me conclude this by saying, and you know, I really want you to feel this with me, and so that you will know exactly what I'm trying to get you to see about this. Give me a sign. Come on, you're wasting my time. Because you're going to run into people, Christians. You're going to run into people like that all the time. What did you learn from these very important verses today? What are the lessons for the church? What are the lessons for a group of believers? What is the lesson for one lone individual? What is the lesson for the person that's not a Christian listening to this? Are you like the Pharisee and the Sadducee coming against people like me? Because I'm going to be like my master, Christ. My life is his. He's called me. I belong to him. I am a true disciple of Jesus Christ. I cannot ever deny him. I want you to check out your motives as you think about the study of this lesson. I want you to compare all of our motives, insights, and everything with the frame of reference of the 21st century Christian experience today. And when you do that, you're going to say, oh my goodness, I didn't know, PJ, that all these meanings were involved. Never seek to apply this lesson to other people. Rather, take this lesson for yourself. This is for you to take. Or Jesus will leave you to your own selective fate. Just the way he left him. That was beautiful. Then he left them in verse 4b. He left them and went away. That's the way it is. Jesus didn't say you're going to hell and this is going to happen to you. He doesn't push anything down our throats. Oh no. He doesn't do that. Don't seek to apply this lesson to other people. Take it for yourself. Because these words are going to judge all of us at the last day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed." That means given the payback for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. See, a lot of people don't want to read that verse. They say, man, come on. And I'm praying that none of us that's listening to me right now will ever fall into this subtle trap of Satan. I want you to know that he's sly enough to trick, even if it were possible, the very elect. Many of you have decried Christianity. You don't want to be a Christian anymore because you've discovered through listening to me what it's all about. And you saying, so you mean to tell me that everything that I've been doing has been false? Basically is. And I'm not laughing at you, I'm laughing with you, because I believe that you can come to the point of true biblical repentance. My goodness, I was only supposed to spend 30 minutes doing this. I want to thank you for coming to the website. And if you would like a printout copy of this entire lesson, all you have to do is contact me and I'll email you the printed out copy. I'll email you the entire copy so that you can give this Bible study and home fellowships where you are. Say, Pastor John, please send me an email of give me a sign, you're wasting my time. I'll send it to you. Well, it's Thursday morning now. It's 9:43 here in the Lucy Coleman studio, and I got more work to do, so I'm going to say good night. And whatever you do, good day. Stay into the Word. Bye-bye.